I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. Every great city has a zoo. But how many cities can boast of having a huge park that's home to thousands of wild migrating animals? Well, one that we know of for sure is Nairobi, Kenya. Nairobi National Park is a big piece of African wilderness in the midst of one of the continent's biggest cities. But the growth of the city itself is choking off the park. Anders Kelto has our story.
It's a scene that people from around the world pay thousands of dollars to see. A pack of zebras, snorting as they wade softly through the tall grass on the East African savanna, followed by a small herd of galloping wildebeests. Every year, millions of these and other animals make a famous migration across the Serengeti Plain. Most head to the vast parks and reserves of Tanzania and southwestern Kenya, but many end up here, in Nairobi National Park, 45 square miles of open land, almost completely surrounded by Kenya's capital city.
Usually the numbers are in hundreds or in thousands.
That's park ranger Mariah Githinji. These herds have been coming here as long as anyone can remember. But recently, Githinji says, their populations in the park have plummeted.
What we are getting now is just a trickle. Very small herds like these, and groups of about 30.
The problem, Githinji says, is humans. Most of the park is surrounded by a 10-foot fence. The only unfenced section is a 12-mile-wide stretch on the park's southern border. It's where the animals move in and out, but it's also where people are starting to close in. We head for that part of the park on a rutted road that runs alongside the fence.
So we're going to an area where you never take tourists.
Yeah, here, most don't come to this end of the park.
The jeep crosses a river and passes through a small wooded area. Then the land opens up into a huge dusty savanna that extends to the horizon. It's called the dispersal area, just outside the park. But instead of an undisturbed plain, we find a group of men breaking up rocks next to a huge quarry.
You can see how big. It covers several acres of land.
I can see why no animals would be able to get through here.
Yeah, there's no animal that can be able to climb up or down these steep banks.
Githinji says there are dozens of quarries like this in the dispersal area, all serving a local construction boom. New residents are pouring into the Nairobi area. Some are even settling right here in the dispersal area. Not far from the quarry, we head for a group of metal shacks. Cows speckle the horizon. Herdsman Wilson Kasime lives here in this informal settlement with his family, right in the thick of the migration route.
We have wildebeest around all the time. Especially during the evening hours, at night, they're all around here. They're even coming up to our homes here.
The close proximity isn't good for the animals or the humans. But Kasime says his family has no choice about where they live.
This is our area. This is our land. And we have nowhere place to go.
That kind of pressure keeps on, you know, mounting on the park.
Wilson Kurir is the assistant director of the Kenyan Wildlife Services. From his office in the park's headquarters, he sees pressure building from all directions, and he worries that the pressure could eventually strangle the animals' migration route.
So if they are not able to move in and out seasonally like they do, then most likely the park will die.
Kurir says that might not be a big deal for Kenya's wildlife as a whole, but he says it would be a big blow to the region's humans. He says most people here want the park to survive. It's more accessible than most of Kenya's national parks. It generates significant tourism revenue. And its unique location within the capital is a source of pride. Kurir says the main problem is that when the park was created, the dispersal area was left in private hands.
If this area was secured like 30 years ago, we would not be having the kind of problem we have now. It is a mistake that we made, and we have to live with it.
Now, it's the Wildlife Agency's job to try to make up for that mistake. It's working to convince landowners in the dispersal area about the importance of animal migration. And it's begun paying some of them to leave their land open. But Kurir says it can be a tough sell.
What we give landowners is very small compared to the prices of land coming from the city here.
Back in the dispersal area, Wilson Kasime stands with a neighbor beside his home. He's considered one of the agency's success stories because he's declined several offers to develop his land.
Sometimes it is tempting, but as people who are really know the importance of these animals, we cannot agree.
But Kasime's neighbor, Amos Lanti, doesn't feel the same way. He owns 120 acres. Lanti says the situation with the park is unfortunate, but he needs to support his family. So he'll sell his land to whoever offers him the most money. The Wildlife Service estimates that 80% of the dispersal area is already blocked. That means the fate of Kenya's oldest park may rest in the hands of small landowners like Kaseme and Lanti and their willingness to leave their land open. Heading back toward the park, Muraya Gathinji and I spot a huge group of wildebeests and zebras approaching the edge of a quarry. Gathinji says they're trying to get back into the park, but they can't find a way in. For The World, I'm Anders Kelto, Nairobi, Kenya.
You can travel to the Nairobi National Park, at least via some great photos. Check out Anders' slideshow at theworld.org.